VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk as we deal with issues that certainly impact our freedoms, that impact life, that impact traditional values, that impact biblical values. Today, we're going to revisit with a guest on a case that we've been alerting you all along as to its development and proceedings. As many of you know, in recent years, shocking undercover videos were revealed to the public by those going undercover to report the involvement of Planned Parenthood in the trafficking of human baby body parts. Well, as a result, Planned Parenthood launched a multi-million dollar lawsuit against Sandra Merritt and others for their undercover investigation, which was a multiple weeks trial. Last week, the closing arguments were made and the jury was given a set of instructions by the judge which required a verdict of guilty. Today, we're going to share with you some of those dictates by the judge, the verdict of the jury, and what happens next. Joining us today, we welcome back the law firm that's representing Sandra Merritt, Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
We always have new listeners joining the program, so just to provide some context, Matt, give us just a brief overview of the undercover investigative journalism of your client, Sandra Merritt, and the multi-million dollar lawsuit that was launched against her and others by Planned Parenthood.
Well, David DeLayden and Sandra Merritt, and we represent Sandra. She's a 66-year-old retired grandmother. They began to investigate Planned Parenthood, and David began the investigation. He communicated with Sandra. They continued the investigation. They read journals. They spoke to experts. And they also viewed a 2000 ABC News 2020 report that did undercover investigation regarding the abortion industry harvesting baby body parts for enormous profits. And so they began to look at all this information. They then talked to people who were sidewalk counselors who actually inquired, why are these express delivery trucks coming up to this abortion clinic and then whisking away boxes, some of them that have ICE-contained boxes? What were they doing? They found out that they were actually shipping baby body parts to research labs. So they began to do these undercover videos, and they went to conferences in public places. These were not private recordings. These were public places where lots of people are around, so it's not confidential. People can overhear you, and that's one of the exceptions in California. If the conversation's not confidential or someone is nearby that can overhear the conversation, it's not confidential, and you can record. The other is if you suspect the person recorded is engaging in illegal activity, you can record, and both of those were true.
Mm-hmm.
And they did these videos, and they began to release these videos, and they were shocking because these are videos by Planned Parenthood high executives. They're videos from people who worked in places like STEM Express and these other organ procurement companies, and they talk about what's happening, what was happening. These babies were being manipulated during birth with no medication, no anesthesia. Some of them were being grasped by their feet, pulled out breech first, so that they would dilate, and then they would take out the baby intact. Some of them would be crushed above and below the thorax so they could remove an intact heart, lung, liver, kidney, all while the baby was alive, killing it, of course, with the crushing. And then they would take out the head and take out the intact brains. And some of these were being sold online to these research labs for up to $17,000 a piece.
Mm.
And so places like what we found is places, research facilities, universities that were getting federal funds, like Stanford University. They would go online to, say, STEM Express. They would order a heart. They wanted it at a certain gestation from the moment of conception. They wanted a certain size. They had certain requirements of what they wanted. They would make that order. STEM Express and the other procurement companies would then deliver that order to an abortion clinic that they had set up an arrangement with. They would get the order for that day, and they would then select the babies from which they would harvest these body parts. And they would whisk them off in express delivery trucks, making lots of profit along the way. So this is what they uncovered. And as a result, Planned Parenthood filed a multimillion dollar lawsuit in San Francisco, and the California Attorney General, very pro-Planned Parenthood, filed 15 felony charges against them in San Francisco, and that's where we are. We have gone through a three-week state criminal hearing. We're waiting on a judge in that case to see if we have to go back for a full-blown jury trial in criminal court. And then we just got the verdict after nearly 7 weeks, ending at 6 weeks, of trial in San Francisco from the jury last Friday, late afternoon, finding for Planned Parenthood and awarding over $2 million in total damages. Mm-hmm. Now, why so much? Because the judge erroneously allowed a federal law called RICO, Racketeer Influence Corrupt Organization Law, to go forward as part of this suit, and any damage award is tripled under RICO.
Okay, so we're going to circle back to the jury verdict, but Mant, as this case, I mean, you mentioned some 6 weeks this went on, and it was heard by San Francisco's U.S. District Court Judge William Orrick III, but from the very start, there was concern over Judge Orrick presiding over this case. What was the basis for the concern of Judge Orrick?
Yeah, we, in 2017, the defense requested that Orrick recuse himself from the case and step down, and the reason is because he is part of the Good Samaritan Family Resource Center and is so reportedly the founder of that center. And that center actually houses the Planned Parenthood of Northern California facility in its complex. So they're in the same building. It's a tenant, and they have good relationships with this abortion facility, this Planned Parenthood arm or affiliate. And also, there's additional information that was tweeted or posted on social media after these videos came out, in which his wife condemned those videos and actually tagged her husband. So we know that there's been this longstanding support, and there's statements, there's relationships of the judge with Planned Parenthood. This is the plaintiff in the case. And we then said, you can't be an objective judge. You need to step down. We asked him to. He refused to do so. We appealed that refusal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they didn't remove him. They let him stay on the case, and this is now what we have.
Okay. Now, all through this trial, and you were with us previous, telling of the evidence that went before the jury, but all throughout this trial, the judge, this judge who has the connection here to the abortion business, actually denied on many occasions certain evidences from being presented. So we saw that those concerns realized actually through the trial itself.
Yeah, we did. In fact, in the trial itself, it was very obvious he was allowing Planned Parenthood to talk about the so-called good things that it does. And they could say, well, they're just doing breast exams, and these radical extremists over here, they're just trying to hurt us. So they were allowed to say good things about themselves. We weren't allowed to bring in evidence contrary to that. We weren't allowed to bring in the evidence of the actual videos. The case is about the videos, and the judge prohibited us from showing the videos. And these videos are crucial. The judge also prohibited us from showing the evidence that they had researched beforehand to formed the basis that they understood Planned Parenthood was engaging in illegal activity, excluded the expert. One of the experts that we presented in the criminal three-week hearing, for which we're waiting on a ruling on whether we go back for a jury trial, is a PhD from Stanford University, was working at a research lab studying mice. She's a stem cell research expert. One day, a baby beating heart arrived, and she was shocked. And the way it was preserved, she said the only way that could be extracted was if it were extracted alive while the heart was still beating.
Mm, right.
And then we also then had evidence connecting that, yes, these hearts were being extracted alive and kept beating until they got to the research lab. None of that was permitted to be presented to the jury in this case. He shielded the jury from these videos, from the content, from all this information. And he prohibited us from even presenting information about their prior investigation. We only got two little videos in, one 4.5-minute video, which is actually shocking, but then I'll tell you what he did to that in a little bit, maybe after the break. And another one, we got the 2000 video in, the video that did the investigation that showed the same thing was happening 19 years ago. We got those in. But then in the instructions, and we can come back to this point
later.
He told the jury, forget about what you saw. It's irrelevant, and it has nothing to do with the case. It has everything to do with the case.
So we're going to look in just a short time on those jury instructions. But, Matt, last week, Liberty Counsel presented closing arguments. Tell us, what was the main emphasis of the closing argument that was made by on behalf of your client?
Well, the main emphasis was for, in fact, you know, Sandra Merritt was a 66-year-old grandmother. What would she be motivated to do? Why did she do what she did? She did this investigation. She found that it had been going on for 19 years. She saw it on the ABC report. She did research. And she couldn't stand by and be silent. So she had courage to go out and do these videos and show the world what was happening. And the argument was for the jury to have courage to stand up against this Planned Parenthood multi-billion-dollar giant and to make sure that what they are doing, because they're trying to stop it, they don't want the world to know what they're doing. They want to profit off the harvesting of these baby body parts. You, the jury, have the opportunity to say no. Enough is enough, and this has to come to an end, and you're not going to punish the 66-year-old grandmother for doing a service to reveal this horrible practice to the rest of the world. That was essentially the closing argument. Now, there's a lot more. We actually have the entire argument online. You can read it, and it's very powerful and very compelling. However, when you get to what the jury was allowed to consider, and we'll talk about that, 110-page jury instruction from the judge.
Matt, that just floored me when I read that. A 110-page jury instruction. I've never heard of an instruction that long. And we can't get into all the instructions. So we've got a minute before the break, and we're going to start it and get back into it after the break. But this is something, in my opinion, that the judge went way over the top in what he told the jury.
Yeah, for example, he said the First Amendment, you cannot consider the First Amendment as a defense in this case.
It's crazy.
What? This is what this is. This is journalism. This is the First Amendment. And the judge would not allow the jurors to even consider that as a defense. And that's the reason why he allowed the RICO claim, because he says, I'm not going to even consider the First Amendment. The U.S. Supreme Court has already ruled that you cannot use RICO in a speech case, cannot use RICO in that case against pro-life sidewalk counselors. These are pro-lifers getting out information. You can't use RICO against them. Supreme Court's already ruled that, and yet this judge said, no, we're going to allow RICO, and I'm not going to allow the First Amendment.
This is outrageous. And friends, we're going to take a quick 60-second break, and we're going to come back and look at further instructions that the judge gave. But it's outrageous. It's outrageous, in my opinion, that the judge would say that the First Amendment is not a defense. You can't use the First Amendment. Throw out the Constitution. Can't use it. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do blind cave fish come from?
Chris, it seems that some fish get trapped in caves living in total darkness. They have no use for their eyes, thus their eyes atrophy and no longer develop. But some of these fish are virtually identical to fish that live in lakes and streams nearby, which do have eyes. I've long wondered what would happen if you took some of these blind fish and raised them in a lit environment. Would their eyes begin to develop? The fish still have the genes for eyes, but they're never switched on. Thus, the eyes are never expressed. I've often wondered if they're interfertile with the sighted fish. This seems to be a good research project, but as far as I know, the blind fish are protected, and no such research has been done. Chris, fish were created on day 5 of Creation Week, and that happened back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver is with us today, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Their website, lc.org, LC, that stands for Liberty Council, lc.org. And we're discussing the case of their client, Sandra Merritt, as we are looking at this court that really tied the hands of the jury in this Planned Parenthood trial. And Matt, to see the judge and to know that he said First Amendment is not a defense in this case, and that is outrageous, and there's many more outrageous things that took place.
Yeah, here's another one. The jury instructions told the jury, the court, before you even get any time to deliberate this, I, the judge, has already determined that the defendants are liable for trespass. So he also said that since they're liable, in my opinion, for trespass, that means there is a presumed damages. You just have to actually apply the damages. So it's already a done deal. They've already damaged someone for trespassing.
Well, why do we need a jury if the judge has already declared him to be guilty?
That's exactly, once we got to this point, it's like, why did we have a six-week trial? And this is just a charade. It's a sham. And we argued against this jury instruction, and the judge just refused to budge. Now, what's the issue about trespass? He's talking about going to a conference. Going to a conference is public places where you actually apply to come, and they applied to come, and they got accepted. And they're there at a public place, and they're sitting down at a restaurant. And they're in the conference sitting down, they're having lunch, and they're engaging in the conversation, and they're recording. Now, no one told them to leave. They never were told by anyone, you're trespassing, you need to leave. There was never any signs that said, or anything that said, you can't be here if you're not 100% in favor of us. There was nothing for a trespass basis to be given. You can't trespass in a situation like that. It's not like they're breaking into or forcing their way into a private office. They never did that. They were actually avoiding any private conversations. They were all in the public area. That's not trespass. It's just absolutely absurd.
You said that the judge also said forget the videos that were shown as part of the defense and the testimony?
That's right. He said, for example, this case is not about Planned Parenthood's illegal or unethical conduct. He repeated that instruction every day throughout the trial, and every time the defense managed to get any evidence admitted that about Planned Parenthood's conduct. He put it in the jury instruction. And then he said that these videos are irrelevant. What you saw on the two videos, and there's only two, it's completely irrelevant. You cannot, he says, the jury cannot consider the content of the videos themselves to determine whether the defendants had a reasonable belief that Planned Parenthood was committing crimes. Now, we have on one of the videos, the one video that was allowed to be shown, 4.5 minutes, is Dr. Nucatola, and she's clearly committing a federal crime because she is altering the abortion procedure to grasp the baby by the feet, pull the baby out, breach in order to begin dilation so she can pull out that intact baby, causing more risk, elongating the process to the woman, and without that woman's knowledge that she's actually undergoing more greater risk. It is a crime to alter the abortion procedure, thus increasing the risk to the woman in order to harvest baby body parts. And that was crystal clear on this video. And the judge said, oh, you can't consider that as to whether or not Planned Parenthood was doing anything illegal or whether this was in the mind of what they ended up believing, and that's why they did this investigation.
It sounds like he was legal counsel for Planned Parenthood here.
Yeah, he was. And so it's unbelievable. He also said that he already found that they breached certain contracts. These are things where they signed to come on. They didn't breach any contract. He said that Planned Parenthood had no duty to investigate whether the defendant's claims about who they were true or not. And then listen to this. Under California law, there's two exceptions to the recording. And that is, one, if the information is not confidential, and it can be shown not to be confidential by virtue of the fact that other people can overhear the conversation. That's automatically then no longer confidential. And in one of the videos, which he didn't allow us to show, the woman actually says, "This is not confidential. This is not confidential." And she's, and in fact, they actually asked, "Do we need to keep our voice down?" And she said, "No, this is not confidential. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you if it's confidential." And we're not at a confidential point. They got on video.
You had conversations on elevators and public eating places.
Conversations on elevators. And so here's one of the instructions. Whether a conversation is sensitive or confidential is not relevant to recording claims.
Oh, my.
What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That means forget the law.
Yeah.
Because the law says you can record if it's not confidential, and it's not confidential if other people can overhear it. Therefore, there is no violation of the recording law. It makes no sense. So whether you saw that 4.5-minute video and there's like 30 people around coming to and passing by that table while she's talking about altering the abortion procedures, I know you saw it, but put it out of your mind. Mm-hmm. It's completely irrelevant. I've already determined that they have been liable, and you now have to assess damages. I've already determined that not only are they liable, but it's presumed that they've committed damages. Now, he also says that the jury can, he tells the jury that security upgrades, any place that had security upgrades, are the types of damages that may be directly caused by the defendant's acts. There's a problem with that. There's two problems. One, the testimony was that Planned Parenthood was already considering security upgrades before any of these videos. I'm talking about upgrading investigation as to who's going to be coming to their conferences, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
They already were considering that. They were complaining that they didn't have a lot of good security. So they were already in the process of upgrading their general security process, not because of these videos. Then the court never instructed the jury, never instructed them, and this is clear law, that they cannot award damages arising from the publication of the video themselves. So in other words, there are no damages when you release those videos because those are barred by the First Amendment, but the jury never received that instruction because the judge had already said the First Amendment is not a defense in this case.
Wow. Matt, this is very egregious. And so, therefore, the judge says, I've determined your client is guilty. Jury, you tell us how much. And so the jury had to go in there with those instructions, assuming that, okay, they're guilty. Now we have to come up with some kind of monetary amount.
That's right. And the judge has already said there's a presumption that they've already committed damages because I've determined that they're guilty.
Yeah. So the jury came back and did just exactly how they were instructed.
They did what they were instructed to do. They had their hands tied, and I'm sure that some of the jurors probably have actually thought the same thing. Why did we waste our time for 6 weeks only to be told that our decision parameter is not on whether or not we rule for the plaintiff or the defendant, but how much we rule for the plaintiff, how much money. And then the only thing that we can consider is, well, they told us that they spent X amount of money on security, so the judge has already presumed that they're liable for that, and it's just how much of it. They gave them, I think, 75% or so of what they said they spent. So they didn't give them the whole thing. But the judge had already determined, told them, they've already given you the damages. They've already committed damage. You just have to determine how much of that you're going to slice off. And that's that. They have very little parameter, very little decision opportunity.
So this decision by the jury impacted your client, Sandra Merritt, also David DeLaden and Troy Newman and any others, correct?
That's right. Yeah,
okay.
That's right. And, you know, the implications of this, Obviously, it's a multi-million dollar verdict because it's tripled under RICO, which should never have been applied. But if this is upheld, obviously it's not only a multi-million dollar verdict. Sandra Merritt is a 66-year-old grandmother. She's retired. She gets about $1,000 a month in Social Security. And you know, this is the kind of bullying that Planned Parenthood in this courtroom ultimately initiated, and no justice was done. We couldn't get a fair trial. We knew that from the beginning, and as the trial started, we obviously could see it. And then when we got to the end with the jury instructions, it's like, this is a complete bogus, unfair trial.
Yep.
She's never really had her fair day in court. So we have to appeal this. And the impact of this particular ruling will be for journalists outside of Sandra Merritt and David Layden, because other journalists do undercover investigation. I can tell you, when you look at the ABC News 2020 investigative situation, they did exactly the same thing.
Yep.
The recording on that 2020 report, 19 years ago, in 2000, they were sitting across the table from a pathologist who was eating lunch and telling the undercover investigator the exact same thing that Dr. Nucatola was doing, in the sense that, yeah, they can harvest all these baby body parts, they can get them any way they want to, and they could make thousands and thousands of dollars. In fact, his goal was to personally be making $2 million a year, and he was making $50,000 a week.
Matt, I'd like to talk about Planned Parenthood's response to all of this, and I'm looking at a couple tweets they sent out last Friday. One read this: "We're thrilled with today's verdict, which found that the so-called Center for Medical Progress, David DeLayden, and others who created a false smear campaign against Planned Parenthood broke multiple state and federal laws." Another read this: "Today's ruling makes clear what many already knew. The only people who engaged in wrongdoing are the ones behind this dangerous fraud, and we're glad that they'll be held accountable." And then we have LifeNews.com running a story and quoting Rona Trotter, an attorney for the abortion group, who said, quote, "The jury has spoken loud and clear. Those who violate the law in an effort to limit access to reproductive rights and health care will be held accountable. It has been our firm's great honor to represent Planned Parenthood in this important matter and to help protect the safety, the rights, safety, and security of Planned Parenthood and its dedicated doctors and staff in the face of an egregious and unlawful attack." Your response to Planned Parenthood's reaction?
You know, the moment of being surreal was when the Planned Parenthood attorney was doing closing arguments, and she painted Sandra and David as these evil extremists, and she was holding up these examples of wonderful people, and that's Dr. Mary Lamborghini Gatti, and that's the woman who was negotiating higher prices for baby body parts because she said, quote, "I want a Lamborghini." That's one of their exemplary individuals. And then the other one was Dr. Nucatola. This is the woman who's done about 30,000 abortions, up to 200 in a week, who was grabbing the baby by the feet, pulling them out. She said she crushes above, crushes below the thorax so she can get intact organs, and then brings out the full head to get an intact brain. She's casually doing that while eating a salad and sipping wine, and no big deal. And at the end of it, she says, "And we have been pretty good at that, I'd say."
Yeah.
That's their example of amazing people, and Sandra was an extremist.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Folks, your reaction to this, 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk. Matt Staver is our guest today from Liberty Counsel. We'll be right back.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18. 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Folks, it's unbelievable. We're living in a nation which we have a constitution, and the judge gives instructions. Hey, First Amendment doesn't apply here. Can't take the First Amendment into account here. It's not a defense in this case. Oh, and by the way, forget what the law says, too. I've determined that these individuals are guilty. You just determine how much. Folks, it's unbelievable what's happened here in this court system. Liberty Counsel representing Sandra Merritt, and they said, we're going to appeal. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. And the lines are packed. But, Matt, just before we pick up this first call here, what is this process? I mean, who do you appeal to? Where does it go from here?
Well, we go to what's called the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal, and a lot of people obviously have heard of that particular court. It's one of the most reversed courts in the country. The good news is that there's some new appointments on that bench because of President Donald Trump, but there's still, you know, depends upon what panel we ultimately draw, and then after that, hopefully we win there, but if not, we'll have to consider the U.S. Supreme Court because there's some serious First Amendment issues here. That this judge wouldn't even allow the jury to consider.
Matt Staver with us, and let's go right to the phone lines on Crosstalk. Julie in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all your work that you're doing with the plan, with, you know, fighting against the Planned Parenthood. But the thought would be, could the judge be paid off by this multi-million dollar company? And then, number two is, you know, I like to get to the root of the problem, you know, like stop the abortion before it even has to go to Planned Parenthood. And I was wondering if there's a way that even us, you know, I'm a grandmother myself, can we get to the schools with these kind of videos to show them, the students, what happens in an abortion? And these videos can impact the decisions of a young teenager.
Yeah, good question. As far as the first part of your question, we don't have any evidence that the judge was financially paid off, but he certainly has had a long history of supporting Planned Parenthood, and we've obviously seen that firsthand in the courtroom and in the jury instructions. On the second point, yeah, you can get these videos. Now, not all the videos have been released because some of those videos were confiscated by the state of California. They did a raid of David DeLayden's house, took all of his computers and the videos, and some of those are still in the possession of the Attorney General's office in the state of California, never been seen to the public. But we do have other videos that are out there, and they have been seen, and those can be reshown. And there's other videos that can be shown as well to young people. In fact, it is a video in 1983 called Assignment Life that ultimately changed my entire perspective and moved me from the pastoral ministry eventually into law. So these videos do have a powerful impact.
Okay, so my last question is this. Is there a way that we can get into the public schools with these kind of videos to impact the teenagers?
Well, that's a more difficult and lengthy question. Certainly, you can show things after school, just like any other organization. You can apply. You might get some resistance, no doubt, but get parents' consent to have their children come, like Child Evangelism Fellowship does, for example. You can also have, for example, student-initiated clubs that are already meeting on campus to be able to show them to their colleagues, their classmates.
Where are these videos at that we can look them up on, like Google them?
The ones that are at issue in this case is on the Center for Medical Progress website, and so you can do a search for that. And there's other good videos as well that actually show the abortion procedure, which, you know, it's not this little blob of tissue that we're talking about. It's a real human being that's at issue.
Yeah, centerformedicalprogress.org. You'll also find organizations like lifenews.com has outlined and cataloged all the videos there as well. Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Alan in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi. Obviously, that trial was a joke. Those jurors I don't believe, or I don't know, but I don't think they've ever heard of a fully informed jury association. If anyone wants to look at it, it's fija.org. It's the jury's job to determine if the person is guilty or innocent, not the judge's. The judge just commutes sentence. He determines the fine or the penalty, length of prison term, so on and so forth. So it's obvious to me by that judge telling the jurors that the defendants are guilty and that they have to determine the amount or, you know, a degree of punishment, that's a joke. You know, those roles are flip-flopped in that case, and this should be appealed and thrown out.
Thank you for the call, Matt.
Thank you. Well, it certainly will be appealed, and keep us in your prayer. This case has been very, very costly. We have just in out-of-pocket costs. I'm talking about third-party vendors, not our overhead, not our cost. Around $300,000 already, and the case is actually far from over. So keep us in prayer. It is a sham, and there was no justice, that's for sure.
And, Matt, for those who would like to help in the process, they can even send a donation through the website?
Yeah, go to lc.org, lc.org right there. At lc.org is the donate page at the top, so you can click on it and you can give a contribution to help support this case. It's quite extensive, and as you know, it's not over.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Mike in Menominee Falls, you're on the air.
Hi. This question's for Matt. Matt, this judge, in one fell swoop, has declared that this woman has no First Amendment right in the courtroom there, and it would be my guess that she has rights, that they can't do that without proper procedure. So, in essence, this man has created or done a crime against her and used his position in the courts. So my question is, it seems to me that there could be charges against this judge, or certainly something that's of inappropriate conduct for a man in his position, misuse of his status. So what can be done that way? Because this is as much of an injustice as any of that stuff that you guys are fighting.
Well, see, judges are going to be immune from something like that, and the only thing that you have as a recourse is an appeal. You have the opportunity for impeachment, but only one judge in the last probably 30 years has been impeached, and that judge is now a member of the Democratic Party in the U.S. House of Representatives. He was impeached for bribery. But what's really important is to make sure that you have a president that nominates and then gets confirmed good judges. You know, judges can have their own personal opinion. They can support this or that cause, but they shouldn't bring that into the courtroom. Only the law and the facts are relevant and important. That's the kind of judges we need.
So I have one other question then on that. I mean, I think President Trump's been doing some wonderful things, and I echo what you guys have been saying. I don't know if he's aware of this particular case. I mean, he's doing so much. But in the end, whatever this liberal court does, can there be a request that she be granted, oh my goodness, the word slipped my mind.
Like a pardon? Well, this is a civil case, and certainly, you know, we're not to that point yet, and it's not a criminal case, but we do have the other criminal case coming up fairly soon that we'll have to figure out what this judge is going to do, whether we have to go back for a jury trial. I'm just praying that we don't have to even consider the, any kinds of options such as that, but obviously, we want to be at the Court of Appeals and eventually, if necessary, at the Supreme Court, because there's so many areas that were wrong and that need to be reversed in this ruling.
Mike, thank you for the call. We're now going to Mark in Newark, Ohio. You're on the air, Mark.
Yes, good afternoon. I got a couple questions. Now, on this jury, now, isn't that jury tampering by the judge himself? And is there a law on this where
the judge can give instructions. You can't tamper with the jury, whether you're the plaintiff or the defendant or somebody on the outside, and intimidate the jury. The judges, this is what happens. They give instructions. The problem is that the instructions were unconstitutional, wrong, and they deprived our client of a fair trial, and so that's why we have to appeal.
Well, I'm thinking, well, he's given instruction to the juror to say guilty. To me, that sounds like tampering. He's informing these juries not to do their duty, but to do his duty, which to me is against the law. Plus, he took away the First Amendment, which is part of the Constitution, rights for these the jury to say yes or no. That's what the jury's for.
Thank you, Mark. I'm going to have Matt comment.
No, I understand you. It's just the problem is when it comes from a judge, it's not called jury tampering, and it's reversible error that we have to address on appeal.
Thank you for the call. We're moving on to Cy in Sarasota, Florida. Cy, you're on the air.
Matt Staver, thank you for being on the air today. What exactly does RICO mean? And a second question, whom is David DeLaden? How old is he, and what is his profession?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Well, RICO is an abbreviation for the Racketeer-Influenced Corrupt Organization Law, and it was passed many years ago by Congress because of mafia in different places of the country, New York, Chicago, other places, where they were engaged in organized crime. And that's why they tripled the damages. They wanted to cripple the mafia. But then there were attempts to apply it outside of those organized crime, and one attempt was to apply it against pro-life sidewalk counselors and triple the damages and award attorney's fees. Because, by the way, this $2.2 million doesn't even take into consideration the amount of attorney's fees that will ultimately be claimed by the other side, because it gives them not only attorney's fees but also cost. So we could go into the multi-million dollars. And so the Supreme Court said you can't do that because that violates the First Amendment. And so on the one hand, he allowed RICO, which he shouldn't have, and on the other hand, he said First Amendment doesn't apply, which is absolutely absurd.
And as far as David, he's another defendant in this case?
Yeah, David is another defendant. David is the... I don't remember his exact age, but he's going to be in his 40s or early 50s, probably in his 40s. David is someone who led the investigation and ultimately approached Sandra and talked to her about what he found, and then she continued the investigation with him, and they both then together began to make these recordings of the Planned Parenthood, the abortion, and the stem cell, the organ procurement companies.
Thank you for the call. John is calling from Appleton, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling in regards to this business with this judge out in California, the jury trial and whatnot. I'll tell you, every time I hear cases like this, it just makes my jaw drop. I just don't understand it. My question would be, is there nothing that can be done with liberal judges such as this one? They want to impeach a president. I mean, can't these judges be terminated, impeached, or fired or something?
I'm going to have Matt comment. We had a bad connection there, John. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, you can do the impeachment for the judges, but like I said before, Congress has been very reluctant to exercise that power, and the last one there's only been one in the last 30 years or so that's been impeached, and it was a judge in South Florida, Alcee Hastings. Alcee Hastings got impeached because he took a bribe because of one of the clients before him, one of the parties, bribed the judge to rule in his their favor. He took it. He got impeached for that. But then he ran for U.S. Congress as a Democrat. He won. He's been in Congress ever since. He's now being investigated for having sexual relations with one of his staffers.
Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. LC.org is their website. And we'll be back with more of your calls right after the break here on the Crosstalk program on VCY America.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. In Christianity Today, in October of 1960, then FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover wrote an article in Christianity Today warning America's pastors that their pulpits were a target by the communist. He warned them the communist would use masking terms to bring them along and aid them in furthering the communist ideas and philosophies. He said they will do this in many ways, but one of them is by using terms like, well, we're just about love and justice, the brotherhood of men. Let's not fight. Let's work together. We're about peace and economic justice and civil liberties. My friends, this is exactly what's happening today. It's out in the open. And now communist promoting guys are openly penetrating the church in America with front groups, just as J. Edgar Hoover warned.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. I know you can't always trust Wikipedia, but Matt, according to that, David DeLaden, 30 years old.
30 years old, yeah. You know, he'd probably kick me if he heard me say that he was in his early 40s or so. But he, you know, these recordings began around 2015, so that happened when he was, what, 26 years old.
Let's go back to the lines here. Salina, Kansas. Steve, you're on the air.
Matt, this trial, a kangaroo court would be calling this thing too good. It's a sham at the very least. But if a judge told me to throw out the First Amendment, I mean, I don't have any legal background, but at that point there would be conflict of interest, and I wouldn't want to recuse myself. Did any of those jurors recuse themselves?
No, they only got that at the. I mean, they'd been on the case for. I mean, these are people
who
don't have legal backgrounds, and you know, they're in this hearing for 6 weeks, and they get the jury instructions last week, Wednesday afternoon. And this is what they're told.
110 so pages.
You can't communicate with them and tell them, hey, you're done. So they go out and deliberate by themselves. And here a judge tells them, this is what you have to do. So they do it.
But even at that point, if a judge is telling me how to rule, there's a conflict of interest there. I have to say no. But you know what that judge would do? He'd find me in contempt of court, probably.
Yeah, I agree that you would have to say no. I agree with that. And, you know, obviously they felt so boxed in that they came to this decision, you know, and the judge didn't give them much leeway. Personally, I would have done exactly what you're talking about. Said, you know, I can't support that.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the call. Our number 800-733-9829. Eddie is next in Kentucky. You're on the air, Eddie.
Yes, sir. I got a question for Matt. I was just wondering if he could explain what an activist judge is.
Good question. An activist judge, just the idea, is a judge who does not respect the actual written text or the history of the text, whether it's the Constitution or the statute, and imposes their own personal view that's not in accordance with the law. An activist judge are the judges, say, in 1973 and 1992 that said there's a constitutional right to abortion, but they couldn't find any place in the Constitution that actually gave that basis, and they just imposed it because of their own will. That's what an activist judge is.
I've heard where one federal activist judge actually even withstood the president. That's the only reason I was asking.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate your call.
Yes, thank you all. Thank you for the program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
800-733-9829. Mike in Marshfield, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. A comment and a question. And my comment is that Christians, I think, should better get outside the walls of their churches and get really active in the pro-life cause if they want to see an end to abortion. My question is this. What kind of effect, Mr. Staver, will this case have on other similar cases around the country?
Well, I think it could have a chilling effect. When the California Attorney General filed the 15 felony counts against David and Sandra in the criminal side, the Los Angeles Times editorial board, not someone who's writing an op-ed, but the actual editorial board wrote an article blasting the Attorney General because they said it's never happened before in the history of California, and this kind of act will chill free speech and chill and undermine investigative journalism, and that's exactly what it'll do, not just to pro-lifers, but journalism across the board. You know, we want people who actually will do these undercover investigations, do them legally, like in this case Sandra and David did in open public places where things are not confidential or where they suspect that the party is engaging in illegal activity. That's helpful information to the public. These videos were very informative, very helpful. And Planned Parenthood having this jury verdict, it literally it rewards the wrongdoer, the evildoer, and punishes someone who was doing what should have been done for many years, what ABC News has done. And, you know, if you had the ABC News right now doing the same thing, they would be in the same boat as David and Sandra in this judge's courtroom.
Mike, thanks for the call. We're going to another caller in Marshfield. That's Star calling in. You're on the air, Star.
Yeah, my memory said that these films were originally going to be shown to Congress to see if they were true.
Yeah, they did go to Congress. And, in fact, Congress in the Senate and the House reviewed them, and they investigated them, and both the Senate and the House referred the case to the Department of Justice for federal prosecution. These videos also went to different states, and California, Texas and many others defunded Planned Parenthood, citing these videos. Moreover, prosecutors, even in California, other local elected prosecutors in California, based on these videos, prosecuted the Oregon procurement companies, and several of them were fined for violating state and federal law. They went out of business because of the fines. STEM Express paid the fine, but was viable enough, it was able to survive the fines. So these prosecutors did their own investigation, finding it their own conclusion that these entities engaged in illegal activity against state and federal law. So they have had a wide impact. The judge said none of this can be told to the jury.
Wow, amazing. Thank you, Star. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Gulf Springs. Betty, you're on the air.
I just wondered, how can we specifically pray for this? This is such a huge topic.
Thank you so much.
It is. Thank you. Pray for Sandra. She's holding up really well. She's amazing. And then pray for our legal team. They have spent exhausting hours, and we're still doing exhaustive hours. And then just pray for Liberty Counsel for protection and for, you know, support through this whole process. It's been by far the most exhausting, compelling case that we've had. It's the most important case in decades, if not forever, exposing Planned Parenthood. That's what they don't want the public to see, that the public will see this information, that we'll get a verdict of reversal on appeal, that Sandra will be vindicated, and that the public will be woke up with regards to what's happening in these abortion facilities.
Thank you for the call. And, folks, there is a huge price tag on this whole defense, and you can certainly help out at lc.org, lc.org, or by calling Liberty Counsel at 407-875-1776. Matt, thank you so much for the update today. And, again, we encourage our whole Crosstalk family to be in prayer for all of you at Liberty Counsel.
Thank you. And you can go to lc.org. And lc.org/Sandra for all the information on this case.
Okay, again, lc.org and lc.org/Sandra. Folks, these are the issues that are before us today. Thanks for listening. Let's keep praying. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.